Hello, my spiritual hot moms. Hello, my spiritual hot gals. And welcome back to the Spiritual Hot Mom Shit Podcast, the podcast for the moms who manifest and for embodying our spiritual woman, embodying the divine mother, and creating a life that we love unapologetically. I am so over the moon to bring you guys today's episode with my dear, dear friend Lauren, who you guys know as Sacred Doula. In today's episode, I deeply wanted to have this conversation about discipline and self-responsibility, as well as I've been sharing a lot on our Spiritual Hot Mom Shit Instagram about all of the kind of health changes and more physical manifestations that I've been working on. And Lauren is one of the most really like disciplined people I know, let alone an amazing herbalist, an amazing postpartum doula. She brings so much to the table. I knew that this was 1000% the person that I wanted to have the conversation with. And we dive into so much, from really healing to, I mean, self-responsibility, to herbs, to herbal infusion, working with plants, all the way to like conception and talking about what it's like to be a doula and what you know, misconceptions are around birth work. So I am also so happy to tell you guys that Lauren has finally opened her mentorship program. So if you have ever been interested in being a doula and you're ready to create that business, Lauren is 1000% your girl. She runs such a successful doula business. It is so beautiful to witness my friend's success and really success in her soul's calling, her soul purpose. So I cannot wait for you guys to listen to this episode. It is a long one, so take this one on your hot mom walk. And I do want to give a little bit of a love note in the beginning that there is no filter in this podcast. We dive into some pretty like thick topics, and I want to remind you that you can disagree and we still love you. You can disagree with me, you can disagree with Lauren, I can disagree with you, and I still love you. One of my favorite things about our podcast and our community here is we don't have to agree on everything to choose love. And so maybe this will give you a new point of view, leave you with some inspiration, some introspective energy. And I just hope that it lands within you exactly where it needs to land. So let's jump into our conversation with Sacred Doula, my dear, dear friend, Lauren. And I cannot wait to hear how you hot moms and all my spiritual hot gals love this episode. Well, welcome, Lauren, back to the Spiritual Hot Mom Shit Podcast. I am so excited to have you back, my dear, dear friend. I think this is one of my favorite parts, actually, about my podcast, is that I really only do have my friends on for just conscious, intentional conversations. And if you guys don't know, Lauren, Miss Sacred Doula, is a beautiful birth supporter. You also do prenatal support. You do food support. Tell everyone about all the things that you offer beautiful women.
Sure. So I'm a birth and postpartum doula in Los Angeles. I also have online doula services. So if you don't live in LA, there are ways that we can still work with each other. I do food prep and delivery. I do ceremony. So blessing ways, closing of the hips, postpartum ceremonies, things like that. I also am an herbalist, so I support people in their health holistically using herbs, creating a protocol, whether you're pregnant or not. That is what I offer.
Well, you are like the true medicine woman and such a gift to have as a friend to me. Not me literally crying, Scorpio moon, get it together. Something about our friendship that a lot of people don't know or even like miss the small detail that we share is Lauren and I know each other from when we were little kids. We went to elementary school together. And so to be these very strong, grounded women that we are now, knowing the little versions of us, it always is so beautiful to see who we have become. So that's why I'm always a ball of mush when we're doing these things together. And I think that something that Lauren touched on of her being an herbalist is why we are here for this conversation.
conversation, this conscious conversation around the sacredness, not only of our physical vessels and really worshiping the altars that are our own bodies, but really showing up with love and spiritual discipline and devotion to plants, to our own bodies. And Lauren, I would love for us actually to kick off the little call with some of the mantras that you and I have been sharing between each other. Mm-hmm. And what do you think the first one would be that we've been sharing the most?
One that comes to mind right away is inner peace over everything.
Inner peace over everything. And I want everyone to really think about that. Like, think about that mantra and really pour that over your life. Like, feeling your body really ground into that and feeling your heart open to that you are so deserving of inner peace, that the chaos is not required, that nobody's needs are over your own. And it is a spiritual practice of choosing yourself and choosing your peace every day. And even in this busy and chaotic world that we live in, it is such a devotion to see the love everywhere. It is a devotion to see the miracles everywhere. And choosing your inner peace is one of the most magnetic and truly radiant things that you can do in your life. And the second one that I think of is, if I have anything in this life, it is a belief in myself. Yes. If I have anything in this life, it is a belief in myself. And I actually just recorded a few trainings for Next Level Self 2.0 around that mantra. And Lauren and I, something that I hope every woman takes away from this conversation too, is to put yourself in more rooms, put yourself on more phone calls, put yourself in more play dates around women who really support you in rising up. Like, even when your friends are having a hard time or they're having a bad day, yes, hold the space and have the capacity for the conversation, but also don't let them forget who they are. You're allowed to move through your feelings and move through your things, and at the same time, remember and rise the fuck up. Because ultimately, the same thing with the inner peace over everything mantra, it's easy in this life to give your power away. It's easy to fall victim to whatever is going on outside of you. And when you come back to your own power and you surround yourself with women who remember and remind you who you are, there is so much magnetism and there's so much healing for the women before you, the women you are, and, you know, the women will bring into this world, ideally, that it's a next level ritual to really devote yourself to surrounding yourself with strong women.
Yes, I 100% agree. It's nice also to, yeah, like, reciprocate that. I have somebody to go to that you really feel like you were saying, will listen to you, but also sometimes you need that motivation. You need to be reminded, like, I can do this. Sometimes it's easy to, like, commiserate with your friends, and that's fun, and that there's a place for that, to kind of just be like, oh, everything sucks. And then sometimes I need somebody to be like, Lauren, you got this. Like, you are this person that has all these skills, and you can, you know, rely on them. And yeah, I think, like, our society is a little bit maybe not into that right now. That kind of, like, tough love, for lack of a better term. There's a better term for that. But I know me and you talk a lot about just self-responsibility, being self-aware, and taking aligned action, being disciplined. That is something that's really important to both of us, I feel like.
Yes. And the next mantra that I want to share in my giggly, silly, airy self is that I start every voice note in the morning that I send Lauren, good morning to the hottest, coolest bitch that I know. One day Lauren was just not feeling cool, not feeling hot. And she told me, and I said, excuse me, don't ever talk to me like that about my friend. Don't ever talk to me like that about my friend that way. And I think there's something to be said too about this, what Lauren was sharing about, it can be fun to really sit in this energy of like, oh yeah, shit sucks, shit so hard. Oh, my kid didn't sleep through the night. Oh, but my husband won't take out the trash. Oh, but this guy won't call me back. Or, oh, this girl is not texting me back and I'm feeling all confused. We need to leave room for the answers for our problems as much as we want to ruminate about what's going wrong. And so ultimately, having people who remind you of the possibility of the answer as much as they want to hold you in the lower state. And I think just like a little self-love quickie for this moment is, most of the time, if Lauren and I are having a conversation of that caliber where, you know, there is a problem, or, you know, we're laughing about, this shit feels hard. Like, this feels hard. This is like a block right now. First of all, we will laugh about it. We'll own that it's funny. We can own that it's not real. And we hold space for that conversation and then start to talk about all the reasons that everything actually is working out and all the ways that we can recover, all the ways that we can prosper, all the ways that we can heal from that exact situation. And something that Lauren had spoken on that leads us into this conversation is our deep friendship. And it is as if like my love for Lauren is so rooted in the discipline to being the woman that she wants to be and surrounding myself with women who do that. Marissa, get it together. I'm sobbing again. And and I remember the other day I started a 75 hard. Lauren didn't know I was starting a 75 hard until I was posting about it on Instagram, which is very not like us. I normally tell her everything I'm doing before I start. And one of the top questions was, what is your mindset for 75 hard? And I think a mantra that everyone, including us, can take from this conversation is no longer waiting for circumstances to be perfect for you to start. No longer waiting to have the ideal circumstances for you to create the life you desire, and no longer making your happiness or your dreams like conditional or situational, like really creating what you can where you can. And one of the first things that I shared that ignited this conversation for Two Projectors was a lot of people were asking me about my herbal infusions, because as we know, I'm a big tea girly. I'm a big herbal infusion girly. I have really honored plants this way. It's how I work with different plants and how I honor them. So I will let Lauren start this conversation off about herbal infusions, and then we will dive into devotion and discipline, spiritual discipline, and how to really connect with these plants. So Lauren, the floor is yours.
Sure. Yeah. I think that there sometimes is like a stigma around herbs that they're this mysterious, even maybe dangerous, like substance that, you know, we're not taught about, and there's just like not a lot of clarity on it. And I do see in some ways us, you know, feeling more curious about them again, centering them as a way to nourish ourselves, which is super beautiful. And I feel like, Marissa, you're a great example of like how it's not hard to start working with herbs. Like an infusion daily is not difficult. They are extremely approachable, and you know, there is this piece of education. There's this piece of like taking self-responsibility for learning which herbs you want to work with, or opening up your heart and your eyes to see what herbs want to come through. There's a lot of herbs in your kitchen. Right now, there are medicinal herbs in everyone's kitchen. For example, thyme. Thyme is one of my favorite herbs. It's super antiviral and antibacterial. If you have a sore throat, a cough, you can put some thyme in a boiling pot of water and inhale the steam. And every time I do that, my sore throat is gone within like 24 hours. Olive oil is also a medicinal like substance that you could use for your skin, all bunch of different things. I'm trying to think of other things. Like basil is amazing for respiratory. There's so many easy ways to get started with herbs. And my number one starter herb would be nettles. You can find that in Whole Foods. You can find a lot of herbs in Whole Foods.
I was getting my tea bags.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's such an easy, and sprouts, like any health food store, you can I would suggest just like go in the aisle and kind of like ground into your like little space, your little moment, and just see what calls out to you. Even if for whatever reason, don't try to overthink it. Whatever calls out to you, get that tea, look what's in it, and really connect with what you're taking. And also that creates an opportunity for you to really listen to your body and what's going on internally and even emotionally when you drink this tea, when you commune with this plant. Marissa, if you want to share about your wild rose, like sometimes it, like these herbs will just pop up and you'll start seeing them places. They'll just be in your mind's eye. They'll be online, something that you're reading. They'll pop out. Like these herbs, they want to commune with us, and it just takes the intention of getting started, that I see is a really big block for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I think what you said too about these herbs want to commune with us. These plants want to commune with us. Spirit wants to be with you. God wants to guide you. Your intuition is always with you. And this is one of these moments where this is like, this can be the awakening within the podcast of like, I'm not crazy. Like these things have been calling to me. They have been guiding me. And I think that's something that we're really witnessing within women in the collective and in society right now, that more women are waking up to the innate wisdom that they hold within their body, for their body, for their home, for all these things. And I am somebody who I take signs very seriously, and I listen to them. I no longer make spirit the butt of my joke. If I like see a certain animal and I pretend to be scared and I'm like, this is medicine in the moment, like he's yelling, they're yelling, I need to listen. And so I think a really good example of that that Lauren had shared was the wild rose. One of the past podcasts that I had shared was about how I had been receiving all these wild rose medicine messages of like, all of a sudden, to live here for almost 4 years now, I think, I never saw wild rose anywhere. I only had seen it a couple of times in Mount Shasta, which is a very sacred place to me, which is my little second soul home. And all of a sudden, I started seeing it everywhere. And I started like feeling so called to it, to literally stand there and just take a moment and witness it, and witness her beauty, and witness the medicine that she had to share. And I think that the moment, and this is something I teach and I speak on continuously, of the moment that you search for the beauty in life, the moment that you turn the mundane into magic, and you let the everyday be a ritual of making it a spiritual experience, of making your life love in motion, being open to the medicine that spirit is always guiding you to, that is always in front of you. But are you willing to take the radical responsibility? Are you willing to really shed and dissolve this harsh energy that we're living in of thinking that everything's happening to us, when ultimately what's happening around you is happening for you? But can you release the control of the situation to be open to the miracle trying to come through? And ultimately, with that wild rose medicine, I remember I just sent all these photos to Lauren. I think it was like four times over a week. And then I found chamomile in a like storm drain somewhere. And I'm like, what is she doing in there? And I think that there's so much beauty too of what Lauren's speaking on about educating yourself, of going into even the grocery store and like just standing in the tea aisle and simply reading the boxes. Like, it sounds as simple as that, but so many of us are rushing from each activity to the next. We're never letting our intuition lead. We're never letting these plants like really guide us and come to us, because you have to think about, with nature, like nothing rushes. There is no urgency in nature. And so when we begin to approach our life with that same kind of surrender, and really the beauty of that, the medicine of that. And I know, Lauren, for you, like that's a big season that you've been in. As much as you are one of the most like disciplined and, you know, really motivated women I know, you and I both have been so focused on, even though I'm disciplined, even though I'm building this beautiful life, there is still time for my rest. There is still time for my nourishment. There is still time for my connection with spirit. I mean, yesterday I almost spent a whole day in practice just sitting in my living room, meditating, praying, doing all the things. And really being in this place too of letting it be as easy as you make everything else. And I think where people create a disconnect is that when you're working with plants, whether it's something like a tea and an herbal infusion, or as on the extreme other side, if you're working with something like cannabis or mushrooms or ayahuasca, like it's not a autopilot experience, no matter if it's the softest journey or the most like catalyst experience. Like, it's not an autopilot way of being, which is actually how I find a lot of people are living life now.
Oh yeah, definitely. Herbs will open you up, and usually whatever you're called to is exactly what you need. So whether you're called to, like, wild rose, for example, is amazing for the circulatory system. So it could be great for inflammation, hormones. It also supports the nervous system. So you might find that whatever you're called to is exactly what your body is needing. And my teacher calls it a plant walk. So when we see these plants that call out to us, they're inviting us to walk with them. And usually a plant walk is anywhere from like 30 days to 3 months of communing with one herb and getting to know it, cultivating a relationship with this herb in different ways. So maybe you do an overnight infusion one day, maybe you do a cold water infusion, maybe you just do a cup of tea, hot tea, maybe you take a bath or a yoni steam. It's just amazing to cultivate and bring it into your spiritual practice. You could even carry it with you in your pocket, just like around town when you're running your errands. And also like getting curious about these herbs on an educational level, like you were saying. Like, I don't know if it's just because I'm a Gemini, I'm an extremely curious person, and I'm constantly searching for knowledge. Like, I want to know what the heck these herbs are and like, what do they do? Like, it's so interesting to me. So like following that, like childlike curiosity of what do these herbs do? Because no one's gonna, unless you take a course, no one's gonna sit there and explain what these herbs do. Like, a lot of times you have to take responsibility for what your intuition is telling you. And maybe your intuition is telling you to start communing with herbs. Like, maybe that's gonna be the catalyst for a huge shift in your health or your mental health or your spiritual practice. Like, don't ignore these signs, like you were saying. Like, don't take them lightly. Don't joke that it's just a coincidence. It's not. These herbs are intentionally reaching out, and you have the opportunity to cultivate that relationship if you want to.
Yeah. And speaking on the piece about a plant walk also, and the responsibility as much as the curiosity, something that I did in the probably beginning of springtime that changed my life was I had never worked with a flower remedy before. And so Lauren and I was very curious about flower remedies, and I ended up finding this one called Unburden. And Lauren can attest to how much it radically transformed my life. And let me say this too, that, and this is something Lauren will speak on in a much more educated way, of plants cannot do for you what you are not willing to do for yourself. So you have to show up for the practice. You have to show up for the walk. You have to be devoted to, you know, the opening and the shifts going on as much as like you're open to an instant result, right? And so with this Unburden flower remedy, I had been feeling a lot of, Lauren, how would you even describe it? Like, I had been feeling a lot of basically worry of just other people. I was always wanting to make sure that nobody was mad at me, or I was kind of really worried about just making sure everyone else was very cool, calm, and collected, and kind of putting myself on the back burner. And it was almost as if nothing could shake me. Nothing could shake me is how I would describe it. And I used it for, I think, close 3 months, right, Lauren?
Yeah.
Three months. And every single day, multiple times a day. And, you know, I attest to this and I share this because it was the long haul devotion. It was not one day of using it. It was not having rose tea one day and calling myself a goddess. It was the devotion and the discipline to the medicine and to that plant walk that really created that transformation, which leads us to the next piece that Lauren and I do talk about quite frequently, of the self-responsibility. And something that Lauren shared in the beginning of this conversation was the term tough love. And something that I love to remind women is tough love is self-love. Tough love is self-love. And once we are willing to take radical responsibility of why we aren't where we want to be and what we are willing to really do to get there, like, it's all up to us. And that doesn't need to feel scary or overwhelming. That is where your empowerment comes back to you. That is where you call back all of your radiance back to your aura, and you cut the cords of these like past stories that are no longer serving you, the past patterns that are no longer serving you, the self-sabotage that is actually your comfort zone, and the chaos that has been your comfort blanket. You you get to cut it, you get to be done, but it will be done when you decide to be done. So something that, you know, Lauren reminds me of all the time is that, you know, plants can't make up for a bad diet. They can't do everything for you. So Lauren, let's speak on that.
Sure. Yeah. I'm actually super inspired by my current teacher, who is a botanist and a biologist, and she's very educated in the body, everything about how the body works, from the tissues to like synapses in our brains. She's just like she's so smart, and it's really, you know, opening up a whole new avenue in my brain of like how herbs really work within the body. And there's a lot of common nutrient deficiencies that we all have in our body because of lifestyle, health of the soil in the US, and factory farming, things like that. So there's a lot of things. Everything is very like push and pull and cyclical. So like, just because you eat a super healthy diet doesn't mean that you're not going to have nutrient deficiencies. Also, on the same breath, just because you take a bunch of supplements and you drink a bunch of tea does not mean that you're going to be super, super, super healthy if your diet is shit, or if you don't exercise, or if you have a ton of stress, or you're in a situation where, you know, emotionally you're struggling. So you can't, what me and Marissa have been talking about is like, you can't out supplement a bad diet or a unhealthy lifestyle. So it's really awesome to, you know, drink electrolytes and like, you know, drink some tea and stuff. But if you're not following through of the practice of your whole entire life, that's the thing about holistic health. It's the whole body. Everything feeds into the other. And it's not to say that you have to be perfect all the time. That's impossible, obviously. But I think like, just even having a conversation and the narrative of, you know, things like we were saying, self-discipline, we need to evaluate where we are, where we want to be, and take the action steps to get there. So if you're working on something with herbs, you do want to be looking at your diet and your lifestyle as well. And any clinical herbalist that you go to, this will be on their intake sheet. They will be asking you about sleep. They're going to be asking you about your work. They're going to be asking you about your diet. Everything is connected, and these herbs aren't going to do anything for you. They won't be able to be absorbed if you don't have certain nutrients in your body. So that's something that really needs to be focused on, because it's super fun and witchy and cool to talk about herbs, but like, there, you're not going to see any results if the whole picture isn't being considered.
Yeah. Well, and I think that comes down to really like respect of the plants, respect of the herbs, and respect of your body. And, you know, really a respect of self. As we know, 2023 for me was, I was very loud and very clear about it. It is the year that I'm getting into the best shape of my life. And, you know, the older I get, I turned 30 this year. So did Lauren. Happy 30 to us. Little us would be so proud. And really looking back of, you know, the way that I saw my mother's relationship with food, the way that I saw my mother's relationship with fitness, or even taking care of her physical vessel. And, you know, I've shared it a lot that my motivation for my physical and my mental and my spiritual health is for my daughter. On the hard days where I can't be motivated for myself, it's for my daughter, because it's what Lauren's saying. It's holistic health is the whole experience. Like, you can't just be hyper fixated on one area or just be taking the herbs and think everything can be healed and really fixed. And, you know, it's kind of like I keep saying for next level self, like your next level self, this version of you who honors her mental, her physical, her spiritual self, who owns what she's putting in her body, thoughts, food, words, like conversations, men, women, the whole nine yards, like really honoring your vessel, showing up as if your body is your altar that you are in practice and devotion of. And I think that something that we're seeing a lot right now, and something that I've witnessed, is I never get the scrutiny that, say that, you know, one of my fun viral TikTok videos, like when I showed the new Taco Bell item, when I tried that, which by the way, I hate to break it to people, but I did not actually eat that. I take the bites that I take on camera, and then that's all I eat. I hate to, what's that called? Breaking the third wall. What is it?
Oh, where yeah.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I never get slack on those videos that I do like on my healthy videos of when I'm like taking care of myself or when I'm doing 75 hard. And so with that, I think it's this invitation of like, you are allowed to love yourself and want to like take care of your body. You are allowed to love yourself and really be in devotion to having your best physical vessel, not for physical vanity, for physical longevity. Like, we have this one body. And if losing my mom at such a young age, which, by the way, Lauren and I, again, we're 30. My mom died at 35. Like, that's crazy the older we get to think about. And it's, you have this one body. You have this one life. What are you going to do? How can you honor it? How can you be in devotion to being your best self and not in this place of perfection? Because I want to remind people, there was a study that came out. Men never execute for perfection. They execute for simply like production of just being done. And that is something that ultimately always transforms my life. There's this saying I have in Go Get 'Em Goddess, where it's like, some is better than none. Like, I would rather you work out for 15 minutes than simply say I don't have time. I would rather you like choose one healthy option than like none at all. Making some effort and simply showing up is better than nothing at all. But that comes with the radical self-responsibility and awareness of, where am I selling myself short? Where am I selling myself short? Where am I not really open to who I want to be? And there's this Marianne Williamson quote, actually, that I'm going to look up, that I had been sharing in the women's group, that kind of really taps on this. So Lauren, what would you say? Because you and I had been talking about this too, of basically your teacher, and this is something you and I talk about a lot, but your teacher gave a really great example of like how fast food, how these processed foods are literally like wreaking havoc on your body and your liver and all these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So actually last night she was even saying how we need to focus on putting things that aren't harmful into our body. And when we think about fast food as something that's harming us, that is actually like a better perspective, like to try to motivate yourself to stay away from those foods. Just because they're processed, they don't have a lot of fiber. They're usually high fat and not like the kind of fat that we can process easily, which would be like whole food fat, which our skin and our cells literally are built off of. So we need fat, but processed food, our body, it's a foreign object and it's actually harmful to eat that. So switching that out for whole foods that, and also it's not, again, it's not about being perfect. It's about just making subtle different choices where and when you can, even just like buying certain things organic or switching out something processed for like an apple, whatever is calling to you in that moment, whatever is accessible, go with that. Because, and even if it's also just setting a boundary of like, maybe I start with only eating fast food once a week, or maybe I start and then I move to like once a month, building self-confidence in yourself, like, and trust within yourself that you can make these hard decisions is what's going to motivate you to go even further and to be more disciplined, if you will. But it won't feel like that word feels. Discipline kind of feels like a scary, hard word, but it's effortless. It could be super effortless, but I think a lot of people have, like you're saying, maybe perfection mindset, where they really beat themselves up when they did make a mistake. They give themselves no grace and they were like, F it. Like, I just can't do it. You know, I just can't do it. But like you said, some is better than none. So making these subtle shifts to reducing things that are literally harming your body, you're not able to process, you're bogging down your liver, which is like the one of the main organs that helps your body function, from hormones to sleep, hydration, everything. So starting with that could be a really great idea. Just starting with maybe exiting the relationship with junk food and processed food is just a great place to start.
Well, and let's like bring the spiritual twist into this, and then I'll share our girl Marianne's quote, our favorite single mom. Love that bitch to death. If I could like have one person, not even like record it, I wouldn't even want to just like sit down and be like, tell me everything. It would be Miss Marianne. And let me say this, that the on a spiritual note, what I have found, and this is my human experience also, this is my human experience also, of any time that I'm wanting junk food, anytime I'm wanting these processed fast food, it's actually to ground my energy. It's actually a way in which I can feel in control. And I think there's so much to be said about like we use food to like really cope with where we're at. And what if we loved ourselves enough to own that it was a coping mechanism? We can also own that this food is addictive. We can also own that just like Lauren's saying, it really is like foreign objects in our body. Like our body doesn't even know what to do with it, right? And so I think there's a lot to be said about making the mental shifts about what if I just love myself enough to want to treat my body better? What if I love myself enough to know that I'm worth the 10 minutes of going home and making food? And I think there is so much to be said about these small little, like really self-love shifts that we can make as women of just like really realizing the energy that we give so freely to everyone else in our life, we are so deserving of it also. And also knowing and really like rooting in the belief and the really embodying this essence that like you're deserving of the energy you desire. You're deserving of the life you desire, but you have to physically be there, not only physically be there, but you have to have the capacity to enjoy it. So it's not only about wanting to treat your physical vessel better, but it's also about wanting to have better emotional, spiritual coping mechanisms is something that I have found time and time again, where a lot of the time, if I found myself feeling in the energy of depression, if I felt myself more anxious, if I felt these things that are very much not attached to my being, because it's a feeling that is guiding us to something, it's trying to tell us something, it's when I've eaten like shit. It's when I've eaten the red dye 40 is red dye 40ing, Lauren. You know what I mean? And I want to share this quote from Marianne Williamson that says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Because something that I found within the women that I am able to hold space for, that in our women's group or one-on-one, something that all of them came to the conclusion of was they kept weight on their body, so they felt less seen. They wanted to be less seen. They wanted to be less seen. They wanted to keep themselves a little bit more relatable to other women. If they were too healthy, if they were too happy in their marriage, if they were making too much money, they wouldn't be likable. And what an illusion that that is sold to women. Men do not care about that
Oh
at
my
all.
God. No. Oh gosh. That just makes me so angry. You think about like the men and how like these are things that they don't really struggle with. Like they don't, we've been conditioned as women to, yeah, to not want to be seen or not feel safe ultimately seen. And I think that's so relatable that you, yeah, keep some weight on you so that maybe even you don't feel threatened by men when you're out in the supermarket or like walking to your car, you know?
Well, and I think there's this other piece to be said too about like where we are as a culture where like body positivity and self-love now is this place of almost worshiping wherever you're at. And like, I think that's beautiful and that's very important in this day and age. And it's important to own like our health. And nobody really made me feel safe in that. Like when I first shared like the fitness journeys that I was going on, people were kind of really combative about it. And it was always women who were combative about it. And I think there's something to be said about you're allowed to really love yourself and see what you're capable of. You're allowed to really love yourself. Like Lauren, you're somebody who is very, very disciplined in what you do. And I would love for you to share about kind of your discipline and routines that you have created for yourself. And then we're actually going to move into spiritual discipline also, because I think that this is all connected. I think when you respect your body and you're respecting the plants and you're in practice and you're in discipline, this then radiates from your aura into every area of your life.
Yes, totally. And I think for me, I mean, the discipline and routines that I have, They're not because I'm trying to like be perfect or like look a certain way or kill myself over it. It's because they make me feel better. Like they are like, I don't have a lot of vices, to be honest. I've never been into drinking or drugs or cigarette, nothing that these things that people would go to get relief, quote unquote, from their life. The only thing for me that has given me relief is exercise, being curious, learning, love to learn, being artistic, taking care of myself, like, you know. And I think when I'm in a good flow of that, and like, and also like you said, the spiritual discipline, which I think you're super excellent on, you definitely inspire me on that front. It all, like you said, it trickles into every area of your life. And I think, you know, for me, exercise, I think is a big one for me. Like that is like the biggest difference that I find in my mental health is having a mentor or a therapist or somebody I can go to that I know is supporting me, who is just focused on supporting me, and exercise, moving my body. And it doesn't need to be like, you know, this crazy workout that, you know, I'm trying to lose 1,000,000 pounds or something. It's the fact that I'm moving my body for my mental health. And it's also like, for me, it feels good when I make a commitment to myself and I follow through. Like that to me, like builds confidence within myself. And it also, like, I know that I'm a person who shows up for myself. Therefore, I can also show up for others, and also others can show up for me. Like it's this reciprocal, and it just, it builds self-worth, I think, in a healthy way of, you know, I can follow through. I am proving to myself that I love myself by taking care of myself. And of course there've been times in my life where, yeah, discipline has gone off the rails. I've had years where like, you know, I was just really off and I was desperately not feeling good. There was a lot of different things spiritually as well that were happening that kind of led me off. And every time I get closer and closer to back to the routine, and once I get into it, oh my God. Night and day, different person, different life, feels so much better. And I understand that it could be difficult getting started, but that is the whole thing. You just have to get started. Like some days when I don't want to go to the gym, I just have to show up, and then I'm there, and then I'm doing it, and then it's over, and then I feel so much better.
Well, and I think something that, you know, people are really reflecting back to me is this limiting belief that we have as mothers, that we don't have the time or we don't have the capacity. And I want to remind anyone like listening to this, especially if you're a mother, that we are setting the example for our children. Like I have deep memories, and I've told my grandmother about this, that, you know, her and my mom like really gave me a weird relationship with food that I had to like work through in all of my teen years. And I remember just, and you know, sorry mom for like exposing you like this, love you, we'll get the Ouija board out and say sorry later, but like I remember her binge eating all the time at night, and I remember her always being on a diet, and I remember at night when she would be like honestly high, eating chips and dip and cereal and all these things, just like bowl after bowl, my dad or my grandparents would be like, I thought you were on a diet. And they would always be nitpicking at her. And I felt in her this like disappointment within self, but that was her pattern. That was her comfort zone. And having love and compassion for my mom, for who she was, as well as not wanting to recreate that pattern. And there is a deep awareness within me that I come from two addicts. I have that pattern available to me if I choose it. Mm-hmm. And so with my personality, I choose to focus on things that do nourish me and do support me and do expand me. And to what Lauren's speaking on of, you know, beginning does feel hard. And I want people to really like deep within their bones and deeply with self-love, like really ground yourself into the question, like, is it hard or is it expansive? Like, am I like really stretching myself and my aura to a version of myself that I never thought capable of? Like, am I expanding past what I thought I could? Like, am I breaking my own walls down? Because ultimately that discomfort and that hard on the other side of that is always where I found fulfillment and joy and like self-worth. And, you know, it's exactly what you're saying. Ed Milet has that quote where like, you know, how you build confidence is keeping promises to yourself. And, you know, a promise to yourself is as simple as like, no matter what comes up, I'm going to do the thing, you know, I don't have to overcomplicate it. Especially as me, I share this all the time that I survived almost a 48-hour labor. I can go on a walk. I can fucking go on a walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're a mother, you can do anything. You literally gave birth. Mm-hmm. You can start whatever you want to do.
100%. Actually, Lauren, I haven't talked about this yet. So I haven't talked about it publicly, what I want to start doing to honor my mom. So we'll talk about it now. For my mom, she did pass when she was 35. And I, you know, this year I really have been taking my physical health more seriously. And, you know, if you follow the Spiritual Hot Mom Shit Instagram, the TikTok, whatever it may be, you'll see that the daily devotions are not that hard, right? It really is just making the better choice, making the healthier choice, cooking my own meals, eating whole foods, eating lots of protein, and going on walks. That's been the capacity of it. And knowing that that is getting me toward what I want to do. And I have been hinting at it online that I do have a big goal. And so starting in 2024, for my mom's birthday every year, I'm going to walk 35 miles to honor her, to honor those 35 years that she was here. And I think that, I need to stop crying. But I think that think that for me, what that symbolizes is really honoring this woman's life who did not live. Like, she was so full of her addiction. Like, she did not have it within her to live her full life. And I get asked so much about grief and losing a parent and being a mom without a mom. Mm-hmm. And I think it's every day honoring them.
Yep.
For who you knew they could have been. Like, mm-hmm. she wasn't the mom she wanted to be. And I know she has regret for that. And mm-hmm. having so much love for her and being a mom now of like, I decide how it gets to go. I decide the story that Lila and I get to have. And, you know, really this piece of, can you honor your body? Can you honor this life enough to know that one day you are going to look back? And, you know, I have this thing that I say all the time, but when my time comes, I hope that I can like take a heavy sigh and just be like, fuck, I really lived, you know? And I think that's the beautiful part of this devotion and what you were saying, the discipline that I have about my practice. And that's because I know that it is so much bigger than me. There mm-hmm. are so many circumstances that I shouldn't have been able to come out from, that I shouldn't have this life, that I shouldn't be this mother that I like thought I would never be, or have, you know, the family that I never thought I would have. And there's so many things working in your favor all the time, but are you somebody who is living and acting and speaking in your favor?
Oh my God, that's so beautiful. That is so beautiful. And I think it should be really inspiring for everybody listening. Like, what, you have such a unique story, and that is your why in life, you know? And so for people listening, like, I challenge you, like, what is your why? Like, everybody has something in their story, you know, in their life, that propels them forward, or that happened to them, or that they want to break, generational healing, things like that. So whatever your why is, like, keep that at the forefront of your mind when things feel hard, or when you're just like running through your days and you're not really present and you're just like caught up in all the things, or making excuses, or, you know, whatever it may be. Like, I think, you know, Marissa, your why is so big. And like you said, it's every day. Like, you're thinking about this, you know, this is your spiritual practice. And I think it'd be so powerful. I think some people don't have that, you know, so obviously, you know, their why. And it could be so many different things. And I think if you're really connected to that, it's powerful. It's so powerful. It's so motivating. And it's also, you know, like they talk about in 12 step, like, connecting to your higher power is literally life-changing. Connecting to your spiritual practice, because it takes you out of yourself. It mm-hmm. takes you out of self-serving and being caught up in your story, or feeling like a victim. It gives you a broader view of this life that, like, is so crazy, the fact that we were born and that we're humans living right now. Like, that is nuts. We could have literally been like a particle of dust, but we're not. We're here. And so it's like, you know, and most likely if you're listening to this podcast, like, you're here for a reason. So if this is what you need for motivation or for a big shift, like, take it. Like, don't ignore it. Don't play it down. Like, keep it, like you said, Marissa, like, every day you're thinking about this is at the forefront of your mind. This is your why. And that's, like, so powerful.
Well, and I think even the inspiration from you, Lauren, of the curiosity, right? Like, if you're even a woman listening to this and you've had a hard time, like, sticking to the discipline, or you have a hard time considering yourself spiritual, the same way that we're speaking about looking and listening for the plants, ask spirit. Ask for a sign, but also be ready for what that feels like and what that looks like. Because never forget last summer that I had a little ego moment of like, am I making this all up? Is this really real? And next thing you know, there's four bears in front of me. So it's a piece of life that the ego will always be there. Shadow will always be there. But those are also still pieces of you. This is still your human self. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. So when you can really love yourself enough to honor the flaw, honor the not perfect, honor the mess ups, like, your mess is still parts of you. Like, you were meant to go through that. And this is what I was speaking on in the beginning of, like, you get up and you try again. Like, there really is no failing when you never give up. Like, you continue to go. Like, okay, you skipped a practice one morning. Cool. That night you have an opportunity in each moment. Like, in this moment now, if you skipped your meditation, you have an opportunity now to put your hand on your heart and, like, connect with spirit of, like, okay, like, I'm here. I'm present. It's feeling into your body. It's feeling into the moment. And it's asking yourself every single day, like, what is the most, and this is something, you know, you and I were talking about on our walk yesterday, of it's not, you know, choosing the more positive option or something like that. Like, don't whitewash it, for lack of a better term, but really, like, it's choosing the higher timeline. What is the most divine option? And just like Lauren's saying, it's not this egoic place. It's not just like what you desire. It's making it bigger than yourself, just like in, you know, 12 step and all these things of, when you make it bigger than yourself, you make it, you know, as one of our favorite teachers, Margot, speaks on, it's not about my will, it's thy will. So people who are watching this on video, my hands are on my chest. It's not my will, hands up, it's thy will. And when I say thy will, I mean the most divine for everyone, the most divine answer for everyone involved, not just self-serving. So really looking at what you're desiring in this life, what you've said you wanted to manifest, like, is this just an egoic desire? Is this just something for you? Are you thinking about your home and your children, and not just in the moment, but in the future? Of the home and the legacy and really the radiance that you're building and expanding and creating every single day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. And one thing that came up when you were speaking is the whole idea of not being afraid to fail. Mm-hmm. That's something that I think has always helped me in my routines and my discipline, is I'm really never afraid to be new at something. I'm never afraid to, like, go try something new, be a beginner, maybe look like an idiot, maybe fail. And if anything, it's, like, motivating to me to have something to get better at, to focus my mind on. And I think sometimes that does hold people back when they're starting something new or wanting to make big shifts in their life. There's a lot of fear of failure or, you know, just doing something new. And I think, you know, breaking through that and understanding how that could bring even more self-confidence and tapping into your why, tapping in, like, zooming out and doing it for your children and being even including them, like, you know, that would be, it's so interesting to think about who I would be if I had parents who, had a different relationship with food. And I feel like I had one parent who, both parents had extreme, like, you know, relationships with food and fitness, but one was a lot more toxic. Of course, my mom being a woman, you know, I think we're taught a lot of things. And so I definitely saw that. And then I also saw this other side of like, what it does look like to be disciplined. My dad was very disciplined in whatever he, disciplined or obsessive, who knows, but it's interesting to see both those outcomes. And I think, you know, I'm just thinking about the people, the moms listening to this podcast, and how powerful it would be for your children to see you making changes and also failing and still being like, oh, okay, I messed up. No worries. I'm going to try again. Like, no big deal. Like, oh my gosh, that is just invaluable to children. So amazing.
100%. And that's something that, you know, most of these things, like right now, for example, with the 75 Hard or even this Next Level Self series that we're doing in preparation for Next Level Self 2.0, it's like each walk that I take, like she's with me, she's exploring with me. If we have to stop, it's no big deal. Like if it's hard one day and she doesn't want to be in the stroller, we go slower, or it's like a shorter walk one day. It's not this like harsh, intense, we have to do this like drill sergeant energy. And it's also the same thing with food. I know a lot of people have shared, like, I'm not teaching my kid that there's good food and bad food and healthy and not healthy. I'm 1000% teaching my child that. I'm 1000% teaching my child like what nourishes her and what is like a soul care moment. Soul care is like you can eat whatever you want and it can like be fun in the moment, and you can honor, no, this isn't really serving me in any way except on a human experience. Like this whole thing that we kind of have right now of like throwing science and facts out the window for feelings is a little bit silly. So as a mother, my way of showing up for it is like preparing her the best way that I can. And ultimately the best way that you can as a parent is through action, through love, through like showing her that like you can be a human and you can mess up and you can get back up and it's fine. Because there's so many times in my life as a child where, you know, my dad would take me for a run and he would like berate me the whole time about how like, why are you walking? Like you didn't even run that far. Just all these things in my head, or like with food or talking about my weight. And there's such a way that I'm also grateful for those experiences. It showed me the type of parent that I don't desire to be. It showed me why I work so hard to create and cultivate peace and happiness, honestly, in my life now. And there's so much to be said about these little almost excuses that we can create in our mind, and something that we spoke about before we hopped on about, oh, it's easier for you. Oh, it's easy for you. And it's not easier for me. My capacity has just been through a lot where my discomfort has a higher threshold.
Yeah. Yeah. That is something I always forget. When you reminded me before this call, I was like, oh yeah, like my capacity for discomfort is vast. It is very vast because of my life, which, you know, now that I have done so much work on myself, I'm so grateful for that. And honestly, I think it makes me a better doula, a better friend, a better human being, because I have chosen this path that of like being self-aware and taking my experiences and putting them in a more positive direction. And if that expanding your capacity for discomfort needs to be in slow bite-sized pieces, that's fine. That's fine. But sometimes I like don't have time for the excuses. I'm that friend. I'm that friend where I'm like, I hear you, but also you could just do it. That option exists. And I cannot deny that option is not there. You could always do it no matter what. Like you can put your kid on your back, take a walk. Just like you said, sometimes you need to go slower. Sometimes it needs to be shorter, but like the excuses can exit. They can.
It's important to really have this clarity, self-realization, and self, like tough love is self love moment, where every decision is you are choosing your excuses or your expansion. you are choosing to expand or you're staying small in your excuses. And ultimately, the decision is always up to us. And it's that empowerment, it's that radical self-responsibility that can feel the scariest to people. And it's these discomfort moments, whether you decide to get in cold water, whether you decide to go on a walk by yourself, whether you decide to finally take your kid to out to dinner by yourself, or you make the hard decision. Like, this is not just about your physical vessel. This is how you're living your life. How discomfort, like, how willing are you to be uncomfortable to be who you desire to be and create what you want to create? Because, you know, without going into too many details, like, Lauren can attest to this, where there was a situation in my life where I had to make a hard decision, and I still crying, still telling Lauren it's hard, I don't want to do this, I feel scared, I got in my car and I made the decision. And I drove, and we met in Mount Shasta, and it was great, and it was perfect, and it was everything I needed, and everything turned out fine.
Yeah.
Everything turned out fine. Yeah. And I think that that's what more people need to remember, that you can have these uncomfortable moments. You can feel scared. You can feel, you know, you can cry, you can grit your teeth. You can literally, like, be shaking as you do it and still do it. This is where you, like, you expand your capacity. This is where you see the threshold that you have. If your whole life, you're just only wanting to be comfortable and have this easy life, like, where is that actually building towards?
Totally. Totally.
And what is it actually in fear of?
Yeah. What is it in fear of? And you're almost just like what the fear is not the reality. So, like, if you're not even getting started, that is like a universe that you're existing within your mind. That is not reality. The reality is you can do something, and it could be scary. And also, there are tools, nervous system tools, to help you remain calm in those situations. Breath, higher power, talismans, clearing your aura, so many things. And yeah, it's just all about choices. And again, like that why, your higher power. There's so many things, like we were talking about. Everything is cyclical, like everything feeds into another. So that's why it's so important to be up on your spiritual health as well, and your mental health as well, because that's going to feed into your, you know, you going on that walk, or you making different choices with your food.
Yeah. Well, and let me say this, and I know this will be a controversial opinion, but honoring your spiritual health will radically transform your mental health. It will, no matter what you believe in, if it's spirit, if it's goddess, if it's Mother Mary, if it's Jesus, if it's your own inner goddess, I don't care. Like, belief in anything bigger than you sets you up to create a safetiness within your life where you feel safer to open up more to how good things get to be. And with our mental health, when we're always in this, like, downward spiral energy, we feel a lack of connection. Like, we have no other really route except panic.
Yeah. And I mean, panic is one of the worst feelings I feel like humans can have. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense why people are hesitant. And but then at the same time, it's like, okay, again, choices. Do you want to live in fear? Is this as far as you want to go in your potential? Or, and I'm guessing if you're listening to this podcast, it's not. Like, you're obviously a person who wants to expand, which I think is beautiful. And I think it also is, like, innate human nature. Like, humans do want to expand and grow. I think it's natural from the beginning of time. People have always wanted to do better, feel better, you know, so it can be done. It's just, it all starts with you. Like, I feel like me and you could say a million words, but really it's in the individual. If they want to make the change, it has to be within yourself.
Yes. And it comes back to the piece and, you know, making this a mantra too, of like, life is always working out for you. The universe, God, spirit is always working out for you. But are you somebody who is, like, working for you? Are you, like, taking the actions? Are you doing the things to live the life that you desire and, like, follow through? Because that's what it is. Like, we can show up to our meditation pillow, we can, like, write all the pretty words in our journals and follow the right people on Instagram, and, you know, you can say you want to have these things, you can say you want to be this type of person, but are you ultimately taking the aligned actions and aligning your energy, clearing your life, like, taking up space in those rooms of who you say you want to be?
Totally. Totally. And it feels so good. Again, like, think it's human nature. It feels good for a reason. It feels mm-hmm. good when you know that you're doing things that you want to do, that you've mm-hmm. been putting off, or feeling like when you do something and you're scared and you accomplish it, there's no feeling like that. That's such a great feeling.
Yes.
And again, especially if you've given birth, like, girl, you can do whatever you want to do. You literally grew and birthed a human. There is not anything you cannot do. Let's be real.
That's so true. And speaking of birth, you guys had a handful of questions for Lauren. So we will jump into those because Lauren is my favorite person to pick her brain. And I do want to announce, I'm going to speak for you, Lauren, that Lauren is going to have an offering very soon. We got lots of questions about people asking about how to become a doula, how to have a successful doula practice. Lauren has been a full-time doula for years now. What is it? How many years now?
8 years.
8 years, which is unheard of. Lauren has like mastered the game, and soon she will be opening spots for a little bit of a mentorship program. So everyone who is wondering about that, definitely make sure to follow Lauren on Instagram, Sacred Doula. I'll have a link down below for that. And that will be a very expansive container for starting and your business as a successful doula, as well as what that process looks like. So the first, and of course your ebook, your postpartum herbs ebook. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Yes. So I have an ebook that is essential herbs for pregnancy and postpartum. This is perfect for like an introductory person who's just getting into herbs. So I go over all the body systems, what is happening in your body, what are these herbs doing to support your body, and these are focused for pregnancy and postpartum. So these are safe to consume for pregnancy and help your healing postpartum. This would also be great if you are thinking about becoming a doula and you want to integrate these practices into your practice, then being educated is essential on the herbs. And this is a great place to start, this ebook. And that's available on my website. Lauren Elise.
Yeah. And I also bought her ebook. And let me say that I am almost 2 years postpartum now. And a reminder that I want to share with women is once we have a child, we are always considered postpartum. If you are somebody who you feel like you're struggling with your hormones and just overall health after having a baby, definitely get the ebook. Like that is something that I always want to remind women, that just because we see something for postpartum, like you are postpartum if you are a mother, which is something that we've lost within our society. Shocker, throwing women on the back burner. okay, the first question is very fun. And I think we'll love this one. What are common misconceptions about a doula, Lauren?
Okay, yeah, I feel like there's a lot. So first, actually, one that I get a lot, a doula is not the same thing as a midwife. So doulas do not do any medical interventions or services. So a doula won't be catching your baby unless the midwife doesn't make it, or, you know, you're having a free birth, but that's another thing. The doula is not a medical, person. So that's something that I kind of get questions on, is like, oh, so you're the one catching the baby and stuff. And although I have done that, in my practice as a whole, and doulas as a whole, that term doula, they do not do anything medical. Mm-hmm. Another common misconception is, what else did we say? Oh, that doulas kind of like have an agenda of like, they want you to have a home birth and they want you to have no epidural. Mm-hmm. Although there's probably doulas who do believe that or maybe go in that direction, in general, doulas are just to support your intentions for birth. That's how I doula personally. Mm-hmm. I meet people where they're at. There might be people who want to be in the hospital for a myriad of reasons, or maybe a home birth is not accessible to them for a myriad of reasons. And honestly, like, I think it's really important as a doula that I have energetic boundaries of, what you do is not my business. My business is to be a doula, to educate and to hold space. So I think that's a misconception, is that like, if you have a doula, that means you're going to have a home birth or you're going to have no medication. That mm-hmm. is not generally true.
Not true at all. Lauren will be at my next birth if I am blessed with a second baby. If I choose, Lauren will be there holding my body for the epidural. I think people are always shocked when I'm like, nah, I love my hospital experience. I don't know for sure that I'd get an epidural, but yeah, I loved my hospital experience. But with that comes where I live and the type of environment that I am in and all these things. And I think even just as somebody online who is in this like threshold now of one minute, someone's calling me. This huge misconception in our country with doulas, and especially like not only birth doulas and postpartum care, is that it's only for really wealthy people, that it's super expensive. Yeah. And that is just absolutely not true. And I find a lot of people don't even look into it because they have an idea in their head that it is like incredibly expensive. Mm-hmm. And kind of what you were speaking on to Lauren about like what a doula is there for, like you're not necessarily there for the medical reasons. For me, as a woman who was like desiring a doula there for my birth, I could not because of COVID, but it was more about the emotional and spiritual support. It was having a woman in the room to hold you in that capacity.
Yes, that is so important. If you have a hospital birth, you know, you're going to be meeting the whoever is on staff that day for the first time in your whole life. It just makes sense that it would be helpful to have somebody that you have a rapport with, that your body feels safe with, that you've had meetings throughout your pregnancy to hold space for you, and who has the knowledge of physiological birth and different positions you can get in, how you can cope mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And there's a lot of different things. There's some doulas who take insurance. There are grants for a lot of different people that you can get for doula services. And honestly, like even the most expensive doula isn't going to be more than a couple $1,000s. And if we're being real, like we can save a couple $1,000s through 9 months of pregnancy. Like yep. even if it's small, or, you know, on your baby shower registry, put doula fund, you know, mm-hmm. These are things that, you know, your birth is going to change your life forever. Like this is something that is worth the money, the worth the value. And of course, like do your research about who you're choosing to be your doula, and you really want to feel aligned with the energy of the person and the price, of course. And it's going to be different every state is different, every city is different, but there are options, and I think this is the time to look into all the options and to mm-hmm. and to figure out a way to get support and education. That's another huge thing that doulas do, is it's basically like private birth class that is specialized for your intentions for birth. Like it's I'm hoping in the future that it'll just be what everybody does. And slowly, you know, people, more and more people, at least on the West Coast, or on the coast in general, are, you know what doulas are open to it. But I do still get people who move to LA, like a couple I talked to this morning, actually, they were just commenting on how their family is so confused. They're like, what is a doula? Like, what is that? Why are you doing that? Yeah. So hopefully there'll be a time where everybody knows what it is. But yeah, I think that it's invaluable to your birthing experience.
No, it's so amazing. And you know, baby number two is on the brain these days, but we'll see if we're blessed and Lauren will be there. And speaking of your ebook with postpartum and herbs and all these things, we did have a question about herbs for postpartum, for not only like taking them, but for like yoni steams and things like that. I know that you actually are wrapping up with one of your postpartum clients that you've worked one-on-one with so intensively the past couple of weeks. You've been able to support her so beautifully. So what are some of your favorite herbs for postpartum?
So I have definitely like top five favorite herbs for postpartum.
We'll share top two. You guys got to get the Eva. Top two. Okay. We're not giving it away for free.
Okay. So I'll give one internal and one external then.
I love that.
So, hold on. I got to choose very carefully now.
Okay, we're going to make the triple air sign make a small decision.
I know, right? Oh my God. Okay, so we'll start with external because I already know yarrow. Yarrow is antibacterial, antifungal, and it helps skin come back together. So if you want to sit in a bath of your, it's also anti-inflammatory, it's a diuretic, it's going to help you so much if you have a tear, even if you don't have a tear, it's going to be really soothing, reduce inflammation, reduce swelling. So you could do a yoni steam, you can sit in a shallow bath of yarrow. Yarrow grows in a lot of different places. If you do get it from outside, the only thing I would say is make sure that there's no pesticides where it's growing and that it's not growing by a busy road because exhaust does get on the plants. But if you don't, you could order it online from Mountain Rose Herbs. That's my number one recommendation for herbs. Or an apothecary. You can look, hopefully, you know, where you live, there might be a little bit of a drive, but worth it. You could stock up with some stuff, and I would definitely get yarrow. The other herb I think I would do is yellow dock. Yellow dock is great for iron. It's taken a lot during pregnancy as well for iron. But also, you know, if you lost blood during your birth, it's going to be really rejuvenating for that. It also helps milk flow and prevents mastitis. So, which is what I see and what I've been dealing with my most recent client. With yellow dock, it is a little bit bitter, so I would mix it with something else, because it's a root. Roots are usually pretty bitter. But you will feel immediately revitalized with the iron. Iron is one of those minerals that like you really feel when you're deficient or when you have it in your body. So I think for postpartum, you'll when you're already feeling so, you know, spent from the experience, having some yellow dock is going to be a game changer.
I love that. I love that so much. Somebody asked about nourishment and meals for the first trimester for early pregnancy. And I know that you also have an ebook with meals, don't you? I feel like I bought one with the muffin recipe that I'm obsessed with.
Oh, yes. So that one, yeah, I have a postpartum recipe ebook, but also you can do any of those recipes in pregnancy as well, obviously. And there's like a ton of recipes in there. There's like 15, and there's even some herbal infusion recipes included in that. But my favorite book on this is Real Food for Pregnancy.
So good.
Yeah, by Lily Nichols. That is just like a really great, comprehensive, easy to read too. It's very like the way she structures the book is for like mom for moms, you know?
Yes. And let me say too, I have very few regrets in life, and one of my biggest regrets is that I was mainly plant-based during my pregnancy. This is something Lauren and I have spoken a lot about recently, and it's something that I've had and still am having to like support my body in even 2 years later. Like pregnancy is a miracle. Pregnancy is so beautiful, and it takes a lot out of your body. And it takes a lot out of your body. There used to be this old saying that was, have a baby, lose a tooth, because of how many minerals and how much calcium the iron Lauren was speaking on. And so, you know, with Lauren sharing that book of Real Food Pregnancy, I want to remind everyone that the first trimester does get better. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Eat as many real foods as you can and focus on like whole foods. Focus on also animal-based foods. That was like the number one thing that I wish I did differently, because there was a couple moments and I documented them every time that I was craving meat during pregnancy and I would eat it and it would be amazing how good I would feel after I would eat it.
Oh, that kind of breaks my heart in a way because I would have been like, Marissa, because we were in contact during that time. I'd be like, just do it, just eat the
I know. Yeah. And now I'm out here having girl dinner with my rotisserie chicken, eating off the bone like it's no big deal. And I should also note, my daughter is the same way. You would never
meat.
know that this baby was a vegan baby, like in conception. I sent Lauren a video the other day of her chewing on a bone. And it's beautiful to witness to like the pressure
pressure that we put on ourselves for, and this is, I mean, this kind of goes for the whole thing, right? Like, have the same devotion and worship for yourself and your vessel during pregnancy as you will in postpartum. Like, so many women are obsessed with like, what should I eat during pregnancy? What should I drink? What should I do? Like, trying to go on walks to stay healthy. What if you showed up for yourself that way too?
Yeah, like, totally, without your baby inside of you. Mm-hmm. But your baby still needs your body when they're on the outside.
Yes.
A lot of issues that I see in the babies, whether it be cradle cap, really bad acne, gas, reflux, a lot of that mirrors in the mom postpartum. She has a lot of the same symptoms. So if you're not taking care of yourself, and sadly, like, the women that I see that don't take care of themselves, it's not because they're like, you know, doing it on purpose. They usually don't have enough support. They don't have enough time. Like, when in postpartum, you need somebody else to make your meals. I couldn't imagine somebody standing trying to make a meal on their own. It's very difficult. And that's a whole nother conversation. That's like very deep systematic issues. But yeah, it's super, it's almost more important than, because like you said, Lila's great. Lila's fine, even though you were vegan for your pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Like, babies are so resilient and they take what they need from mom. They're going to get
hers. She took it.
Yeah, she's going to get hers. So it's really about you. Like, you're going to feel the repercussions. Like, your baby will be fine. You will feel the repercussions. And you know, it's like a tree. Like, a baby is like an apple on your tree. So of course you want your tree to be as healthy as possible for your child.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah. And I think too, just not overcomplicating it. And I remember when I was pregnant, as well as in the newborn days, and this is something Lauren and I were speaking on before we hopped on the call, but as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I wanted to buy all the books. I wanted to buy all the things. I wanted to be prepared. And I want to remind all of us with so much love that that is deep rooted consumerism towards women. Yeah. Like, you have everything you need. Your body is everything you need. You simply focused on taking slow walks, taking some nice baths, drinking some nice tea, and eating healthy food, and really starting this holistic sort of way of living, joining something like Love Yourself First Mama that Lauren and I did, or Rise Mama Rise. And this time of pregnancy is when you are able to root deeper with you and work with your inner child. This is the inner work before your child comes. You are also like not only preparing yourself to mother, but you're preparing yourself for the role of maiden to mother. You are also birthing the mother that you are going to be.
Yes, so true.
Don't fall for any of that shit. I'm gonna get real quick and smart with it. Don't buy the snood. If it's overpriced, it does nothing.
Yeah.
And Lauren, I'd love your intake on this, but what I've realized is actually most baby products are to replace the parent. Like, if you're just physically there, you have everything you need right here. You have everything you need. Yeah. You have two arms and your heartbeat and your voice, and that's what your baby desires.
Yeah. What you need is support for you.
Yes.
Your baby doesn't need anything. Your baby needs you. And what you need is support. So, and I think this might lead into another question that we got, but like this, I'm just going to say it, like, these are the things that you should think about before you conceive. Mm-hmm. These are things that you should really set up before you think about having a child, because a lot of moms will tell you, you know, because that's the reality for a lot of moms these days, is they don't have support and they struggle. It's never meant to be that way. And you don't want to get yourself in that situation. So I just think it's really, really smart when people are thinking about this, even before they have a baby, or right when you get pregnant, set up the system, set up it however you can, because that is going to be vital for yourself and ultimately your child.
Your child and yourself and your relationship. And, you know, we did get a question about like conscious conception and issues conceiving, and just a really like spiritual touch that I want to pour over the conversation is we need to honor and celebrate the green lights in our life when things are happening quickly and happening fast, as well as the red lights of when things somehow aren't moving, we don't know why, and also the yellow lights when things are just moving slower. And something that Lauren and I talk about deeply in Love Yourself First Mama and her modules together are the conversations with your partner to have before baby comes and in conceiving. And, you know, knowing that your body is on your side, your body is doing what it should be doing right now. And I think when you're working to conceive and it's not happening, you can go into this place of almost like automatic, like, oh, we need to try it this time, we need to do it this day. Like, it almost becomes like a chore, the act of making a baby. And, you know, something that I experienced with my partner when we were trying to conceive and, you know, we had a loss and then it took much longer than we expected. Like, I always like explain to my daughter who's 2, but even when she's 22, I'll tell her, like, she is a physical manifestation of our love. Like, she is a physical version of our love. And I think that sometimes we just get into this place of projecting and thinking what our life should look like, what our family should look like, and not really soaking in what we have now, that the baby's spirit might not be able to ground in. Like, it could be a spiritual reason of that, of needing to really get clear and grounded in your own life, your own relationship, if you have children now, getting a balance on that so the baby can come in with safety. And if you've never read the book Spirit Baby, I highly recommend, because conception is a spiritual process. I know we're making it a medical process right now, but it's a spiritual process to conceive a child.
Definitely, definitely. There's reasons if you're having trouble conceiving, spiritual, physical, and they, like we were saying before, they lead into one another. So mm-hmm. If you're really burnt out, if your body's really burnt out, it only makes sense that it would be harder to conceive. So once you give yourself and your body space to rest, however you need to do that, whether that's focusing on your mental health, your spiritual hygiene, creating more systems in your life to where you can rest, you know, checking in with your relationship with work, like, is your value, your self-worth tied up in your work and you feel like you can't take a break? These things are physiological, like, markers and warnings for our body to not make a baby. They're actually trying to help us. Our body is trying to help us and have us realize that, like, oh no, you're not supposed to have a baby right now, because there's some things that need to be dealt with. And it's not in a negative way of like, you're never gonna have a baby or anything. There is that beautiful possibility and hope that is always gonna be there. It mm-hmm. does take some shifting and some expansion and some and maybe that's not always comfortable. And also maybe it's not always what everybody wants to hear in this situation. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like that answer. Especially with medical, you know, things like IVF, which is super cool. Love that exists. It's so amazing, especially for LGBT couples and things like that. That's so amazing. And also, you know, there is other things that come into play, like we mentioned before.
Yeah. And actually, as we close out our beautiful conversation together, I have seen this trend, and I know it's not really a trend, but it's becoming more and more normalized. I'm seeing to have babies so closely back to back to back together. And it's something, as you know, influencer mom, we can call me a little bit. I know I'm not a traditional influencer mom. My child's not online, but like, you see it time and time again, where you feel like, you know, every year somebody's having a pregnancy announcement. And, you know, something that I really admire and love about Lauren is she is very rooted in your indigenous like beliefs and like with your teachings in that way. And I would love for you to share the wisdom that you've shared with me kind of about how it was viewed before, about why you don't necessarily do that.
Sure. Yeah. I think there's a lot of factors into why people are having kids so close together. People are having kids later on in life, so yep. Their window is smaller. If they want to have multiple children, they need to do it within a certain timeline usually. But that was never the case, with especially indigenous cultures in the Americas, they were in groups and tribes of X amount of people, and they had X amount of resources, X amount of food. So there was a common practice of only having babies every 2 years, because there was limited resources for all of the tribes. So if you didn't follow this rule and you did have a baby, which is extremely taboo, with, you know, not in the 2 years, the whole tribe would suffer because of that. They would have less food. It would just be more stressful during the winter. And also another huge part is they noticed, you know, the benefits in the women's bodies and their recovery and how their pregnancies went when they waited a full 2 years before they had another baby. And this is well documented. A lot of different indigenous tribes operated in this way. It was a form of population control. And also another factor that's really interesting is I get so many questions when the 6 weeks are up with me and my postpartum clients about having sex again. And I'm going to tell you, at 6 weeks, nobody is excited to have sex again. It's not going to feel good. It's going to hurt.
No, that was definitely a white man who made up that 6 week rule. I'm going to say it.
Yeah, it's like you're not necessarily ready. And in different cultures and in different times, it was so taboo to be having sex that early. Like it was just like almost thought as like weird and creepy if you were doing that, because you were not allowing the woman to heal and have her mm-hmm. space. And, you know, we live in a world where men or women are made to please men. So God forbid that you're not able to please your husband. So that's just like another thing that comes up all the time, and of course, like, it doesn't matter if you're breastfeeding, you can get pregnant. A lot of people are under this impression that if you're breastfeeding, you can't get pregnant. Yeah.
I want to know where that came from.
Well, a lot of pediatricians would say that. And now, a lot of pediatricians, a lot of doctors, were saying that, and now they're making it a point to say the opposite, because you know, some people are devastated when they get pregnant so close to, because they're under the impression that it was fine.
Right.
And like, even the fact that you would be devastated just goes to show that, like, you know, having babies back to back is not ideal for your body. Like we were saying, like, the minerals that are depleted from your body through
that's so hard on your body. For everyone listening to this, I please do not fall for the curated mommy talk content where it looks like it's just fun and perfect all the time. Like, that is hard on your body. Like, your body is meant to have this period to, like, essentially rejuvenate itself after holding this child and creating this child. Like, when you really think about it on a physical and spiritual level, your body created somebody else's bones. Where do you think all of that came from? Your body created all of these organs. Like, that's wild.
Yeah.
Not hustle culture coming into birth. Not hustle culture coming into birth, trying to make them real quick back to back.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because we're at like a very like pinnacle point in society where so many things are changing, and, you know, people are, again, having babies later. Also, population is in huge decline, decline. Hardly anyone's having kids anymore, because honestly, kids are for wealthy people. It's so difficult to have a child in the US. It's so expensive that people are having less and less kids. So it's so interesting for me as a doula to just like witness all of this and kind of help people navigate certain things, and just also hear people. I'm just always curious about people's desires and motivators and things like that. And then the science that exists about our physical bodies and what we can do in a healthy manner.
Oh, so beautiful, so much work to be done. And I just know that so many women probably took away so much inspiration and wisdom from this conversation. And I will have all of Lauren's goodness and links linked down below, including a link if you guys want to do a digital session with her. She does do digital offerings. So if you're pregnant, or even if you're looking to conceive and you have more questions and want to have a conversation with Lauren about it, I think that would be so powerful and beautiful. And if you're in the LA area, let her cook for you. She makes the best food. But Lauren, thank you so much. This has been such a delightful conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. So fun.
For all of our spiritual hot moms.
Yeah.